Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Sarah Wells currently right now is mimicking every word that I'm saying. Jane Fawcett is in the background laughing, and Kevin Tinkin is here with us. How are you?
Real good.
Have you ever seen the movie Ed Wood?
No,
it's what? It's a movie with Johnny Depp. He plays this 1950s director named Ed Wood. And in the movie, he's a director. And every time the people are acting out their lines, he's in the background mouthing the lines.
Oh, I'm kind of like Johnny Depp.
Yeah, that's kind of like you right now. Yep. So,
like, he's cynically mouthing the lines, or he like...
He wrote the script, he's mouthing the lines in the background. He's like a crazy director. He's like neurotic about it.
I tell Christian everything he has to say, so that's what I do too.
You're a puppeteer.
Yes.
Sarah, just wanted to give you a quick shout out. We got an email this past week. I don't know if you guys
for
know
me?
We have an email.
From Danny, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
No, this was from Brandon Sabo. He has not written in a long time, but he did say, just catching up on some Spoutcast while at work. My office has the time clock for all the guys here. So his time clock is inside of his office, and I walk back into my office from getting a snack, and there's the Spice Girls playing while my guys are clocking in from lunch. Sarah, good choice on the Spice Girls
you
music.
You are welcome.
And Sabo says, so thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure.
How's everyone doing? We took a break last week, Kevin.
I'm good.
Relaxed.
I'm really good.
Your fingers survived?
Fingers good. my hernia surgery is coming to fruition, so I'm
is it fruition or fruition?
Yeah,
or?
It should
whatever.
Be fruition.
Fruition.
Just good.
My the holes that they drilled into my stomach are healing well.
Oh, good. Now,
how about that, Jane?
Awesome.
Jane,
I'm not addicted to painkillers, which I was worried about. I'll be honest.
You have an addictive personality?
I don't know. I like it. I like stuff, but I really enjoyed the painkillers, so I was happy that I was able to get off of them.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I thought I was going to be like scratching my neck in the corner going, I'm going to go back into surgery. Something else has to be wrong with me.
I feel like with your record of Jane's over there smiling like, yeah, I know. I did totally the same thing, right?
What?
Jane just same doesn't approve of everything I say, of anything.
Everything and anything.
Yes.
Well,
I had a great weekend.
Oh,
thanks,
Jane.
Yeah, I did too. My weekend went really well. Labor Day, I did absolutely zero labor.
Oh, wow. Last weekend. Yeah. And what about this past weekend?
Oh, this past weekend.
Last weekend.
I worked on Friday, and then Saturday was good too. Sarah just tried to make a joke, and she's cracking up at herself.
As soon as I start snoring, I thought, that's
good one,
me.
Sarah.
Jane sleeps a lot?
Yes, that's what I was trying to say, is that Jane sleeps. And that she's putting us to sleep.
Oh, I get it. I get the joke now. Well,
roommates face first, is friend red. Second.
Hey, so we got a good show for you guys, and we are going to talk about Brad's sermon this past week on kind of introducing spiritual gifts. We may touch on PJ's sermon from 2 weeks ago, just a recap of 1 Corinthians. It's been all summer since we've been in 1 Corinthians. So
he did really great, PJ did.
Yeah, PJ
week.
Did great, kind of summed them all up. Did you hear Brad say, like, in the beginning of his sermon this week, have you ever been in the presence of greatness? Uh-huh. And I was like, well, I don't know. And then he's all, PJ is the greatness. And I was in the presence of that. And I was like, sure. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I like PJ's sermon.
He did really well.
No, he did awesome. And then we're also going to just, all four of us are going to chat about some stuff coming up this fall. We've just got a lot of stuff at the well going on. And instead of bringing on 7 guests to talk about all these different things, we're just going to kind of spit them all out at you guys and just talk about one by one things coming up. And then we'll close out the show. And but Sarah picked some music this week, and maybe explain your musical choice. No explanation.
I just thought we haven't had like Christian music on in a while, and so me and Jane picked our favorite worship songs that were like a live version of them.
Yeah, I suggested Dragon Slayer, and Sarah was like, "Let's do worship."
You said Dragon Force.
Dragon Force, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
So
Jane, what were you gonna say? No? Okay.
Saving it to the end to have a spot.
Yeah,
out.
So these are one of the song selections I am really into right now. So
The
Great I Am. I'm really into that song right now.
I've been listening to that song on repeat for
a
while.
Good one. Yep. Jane's not so into it.
You didn't pick one of my 2 songs.
We'll see what happens. So stay tuned for that, and we got a good show up next, sermon discussion. enjoy some live worship.
He makes a point to show them that though there is a variety of gifts, there is a unity. Watch what happens. Verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God. Do you see the pattern? A variety of gifts, same Spirit. Variety of services, same Lord. Variety of activities, same God. He goes, look, we're talking about one God. We're not talking about this temple and that temple and that temple, all representing different deities. We're talking about one God, the one true God, who in his wisdom gives a variety of gifts, a variety of ministries, a variety of services, a variety of activities, but it's one God. He's showing the source of spiritual gifts. Because what people in Corinth were assuming is that because I went to said temple, my gift is better than your gift. And what's happening in my life is better than yours. And they were creating this competition. And what he's saying is, look, the Spirit of God is given not to bring to division, but to bring unity, to bring oneness. Because if we are in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, all are one. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it levels the playing field. All are one.
That was a clip from Brad's sermon from this past week on spiritual gifts. We are in 1 Corinthians 12. He read right there, I think 3 through 5, but he kind of, I guess, went 1 through 7. He kind of maybe ended in 6 or 7. But before we get into Brad's sermon a little bit, just wanted to quickly touch on the week before we had taken off, and PJ did a sermon essentially talked about chapters 1 through 11. Yeah?
Recap.
And a recap of chapters 1 through 11. And there's a common thread that you could kind of see throughout this whole letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And so we understand that Paul spent some time with this church. He then is away from them. He's hearing about some things going on in the church. He then writes this letter to them. And he's essentially saying that these people, there's disunity and things are causing people to turn away from God. And there, he brings up things like communion. And in the beginning, he talks about unity in the body and all these different things are happening. And then we get to this next thing that's also causing disunity. Yeah? I mean...
Yeah, and the common theme that was causing disunity was basically selfishness, wanting their own way in everything.
Yeah, and that's the concept of... I remember him talking a while back. It's like, should I do it because I want to do it, but it won't benefit the sake of other people? Like, I'm trying to remember what he would say, but... What did PJ say?
Those six
questions. Do you have those, Jane?
Well, I have a way of looking them up.
Well, it's all right. We'll get to it in a second. But yeah, I think the thing that Jane brought up is selfishness. And people are just wanting to do their own thing. Dude, I'm just going to go to the bar and get a beer. And like, it doesn't matter what people think about me. God's given me the freedom. And sure, it may be beneficial. Or you may have the freedom to do that. But it may not be a benefit for you to do that. Make sense?
And kind of this made me think, can I jump into what he talked about yesterday? It's the same kind of thought and attitude is in like, okay, we are all given spiritual gifts. And like, I don't really feel like using that or I don't feel like serving the church. It's like, no, you have your freedoms. You have your gifts to benefit others.
Right.
So you can't just sit on the fact that you're really good at, you know, cooking or whatever and not use it to serve others because he didn't give it to you to serve yourself. He gave it to you to serve the church. That's the only reason he gave you gifts.
But, and I think that the key to understanding 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 is really understanding chapters 1 through 11. Because if you miss what the common theme throughout the whole book is, then I think you just compartmentalize the spiritual gifts, or you compartmentalize head coverings, or you compartmentalize the 13 on love. And it just becomes that. When you look at these chapters as a holistic book that Paul's writing as to what's going on, understanding he spent time with these people, I think it makes a lot more sense. Because oftentimes people will do a sermon on spiritual gifts and hey, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. And it's like, well, we didn't go through 1 through 11. So we don't really know the state of these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's good that we've gone through that. And now we're here at this spot on spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jane, you have those questions?
Yeah, I do.
PJ asked these questions at the end of his sermon, just as kind of a recap.
Yeah. He said, instead of thinking that people need to adjust for me, what is the real issue? Or what if the real issue is that I'm holding on to myself, my preference, my way?
Mm-hmm.
He also asked, in every situation that I think I'm having a rough time, what if I went into it to serve God and others? What if I decide my life is not about me anymore? And then he closes and says, I know I'd be a different person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's just addressing the issue of selfishness in your own faith and
yeah.
all
these. I think that's really true, especially when like you don't want to, you know, if someone, hang on, like if you're, you don't want to serve at a certain place or you don't want to go hang out with somebody because they're kind of annoying and blah, blah. But no, you, how can you, like, that's a good question to ask. Like, how can I bless that person? How can I serve my church? How can I do and take the focus off of you and onto the other person or onto church or whatever it may be? And it's a lot less stressful because you're not having to worry about everything. Just serve.
Right.
And it's not about you.
So now kind of into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on spiritual gifts. I think there's two sections to the spiritual gifts. There's kind of 1 through 7 and then there's 8 through the end of chapter 12. And I think they're two different things. This is just addressing the, hey, spiritual gifts are about God and the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And it's not about you. It's not like you're someone greater. It's ultimately to bring glory to God. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what this first section was about. And so we don't need to get into like, well, what type of spiritual gifts are there? And I think that's going to come for next week. This is more regarding the disunity that's occurring in Corinth. And then also like people not doing it for the glory of God, you know? So I don't know. Have you guys, Brad seems to have some experiences in churches that he's felt, I guess, I don't know if it was hurt, but more just like, Brad, I got the sense from Brad that he's just, people have kind of like called him out on things. He's like, what are you talking about? You know, like his experiences obviously are shaping how he's talking. And it's hey, he wants to make sure that like he felt disunity from other people. He wants to make sure we as the body at the well aren't being disunifying with other people.
Because it was that his, only if he had some sort of spiritual gift would that validate his faith.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he said something like when he just became a Christian, someone asked, well, are you spirit-filled? Have you ever been asked that question? Yeah.
No,
I've never been asked that question, but I have been asked like, well, do you, you know, have any spiritual gifts? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't really, it's like, well, why are you asking that? It's because you don't think I'm Christian. I don't know. So
well, you are Christian.
I had a guy come to my door and ask me that if I was spirit-filled.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Recently.
I was like, yeah, oh yeah.
Did?
Yep. He's like, well, how do you know? Like, because I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and
yeah,
that's the thing.
And he's like, they're just trying to pry, and they're trying to prod at it. Yeah,
he's like, I think you'll have a lot. I think you'll learn a lot from this. Go ahead and read this. And he handed me a pamphlet
on the gifts, or
it was because he asked me
about Burger King.
Yeah. I think you'll learn a lot about this. It's about ribs. Yeah, you're gonna love this. He just asked me, you know, started talking about, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior? Like, absolutely. And hey, good work, man. I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, how do you know? And it kind of got, that's when he goes, well, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to know if I spoke in tongues.
Gotcha.
That's what he was trying to get to. And so
a lot of people think that validates your, whether you have the spirit or not, which means whether you're a Christian or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was creepy. I almost tried to do it for him right there just to get him out of my porch.
Yeah.
Just start talking gibberish. Nothing. See, I told you. All right, on your way.
Yeah. He's like, I think that was Vietnamese.
Yeah, you know, I think that something that I guess I took the most out of is, like, I think spiritual gifts, and I would also say that the issue of women in ministry, and I am not a woman, so I cannot speak to how it feels. But
thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. I think those two issues, and I'm sure there's a few others, but those cause a lot of disunity in the body.
And predestination.
Yeah, predestination.
I'll throw that in there too.
And I think that spiritual gifts is one of those things where people, I mean, look at just church, churches in Fresno, let's just say, like, there are so many different churches in Fresno because why? We cannot agree on these biblical issues. So we start our own church. And that is essentially in its, I guess, smallest form, disunity. You can't agree on something. We can't agree that God is God, that he sent his son to die for our sins. We can agree on that, but spiritual gifts, we can't agree on that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start our own church over here. Mm-hmm. And if you believe in the gifts, you go to this church. And if you don't, you go to this church, whatever that is. And so I just have a really hard time. And my wife and I have talked a lot about this over the last couple of weeks, but I just have a really hard time with disunity. And it's like, really, you're going to spend your time like being upset over this or arguing about this. And it bothers me. And I'm not on the other side. I'm not somebody who's like filled with all these spiritual gifts. And it's like, you just don't know what you're missing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I don't know the other side, but from my angle, it's like, man, I just have a hard time with disunity. I have a hard time with people thinking, well, the well believes this or the well doesn't believe that, or people's believes this or people's, and it's like, or what's the church that the celebration celebration believes this or they don't believe this. It's like, at a certain point, can't we all just agree that like Christ is in all of our lives and that's really all that matters? Like, why are these things so polarizing and why does church become such a polarizing in a sense thing?
And why does it have to be in us versus them when really we are all on the same side? And by us being divided, so passionately divided at that, we are losing opportunity and we're losing all this, like, the chances to change our city.
I think there's even the thing of it, of selfishness, of you're not going into the situation looking how you can serve someone else. You're going into the situation seeing how they can serve you. So I feel like,
or you're going into a situation like the guy with Kevin, you're going into a situation to literally, like, your idea is right.
Yeah.
And you are not wrong. So you will walk in already belittling the other person.
For sure.
I have a hard time with that. I really do. And it's like
we make non-issues big issues. And really the only things that we should be holding close-handedly is Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are in need of a Savior. You know, those things.
Yeah.
I was impressed that he went there, though.
Well, I think that was where he wanted to go.
I just, I think I would, I expect evangelism to be very sweet and you know, vanilla, and just like, oh, it's all good, and you know the Lord, oh, fantastic, have a great day. But he was like, he went into it. I applauded his bravery.
For me, it's one of those things where I go, like, is it a personality thing? Is it people that are lean more towards, like, you know, maybe a persister like me or whatever, their engine gets going, their flair for it just like spikes up, and versus people that are like, I just want to go to church. I want to grow. I want to bring other people towards Christ. Spiritual gifts, whatever it is, you know, great. And I've talked with Andrew File about this. There's this pendulum that we talk about a lot, and there's this church that maybe swings way on one side, and it's like, spiritual gifts is it. If you do not speak in tongues, you are not going to heaven. You know, that's the extreme of that side. And then there's the other extreme of, like, spiritual gifts don't exist. They don't exist in America. They don't exist in any other country. It's not real. People are crazy. You know what I mean? So that's the two pendulums. Like, Paul, I think, in Corinth is trying to find a middle ground, because I think that the people have swung to one side or the other. And it's like, just like, get in the center. You know, why is that so difficult? And Brad mentioned it. He's like, 2,000 years later, you'd think we would have figured it out. And yet we haven't, you know, and that's discouraging. So I go, well, what does another 2,000 years look like?
Same issue. We're never going to get to a middle ground.
Yeah. And I just go, at that point, it's not worth arguing,
in
is
heaven,
it?
In heaven, maybe.
Yeah, in heaven.
Jane,
well, in heaven, yes, but not with that defeatist attitude.
Give peace a chance, Jane.
You really think we're going to find peace?
I don't know.
I don't.
I the only tattoo idea I ever wanted was the apocalypse on my back of Christ coming back, just because, like, that's going to happen, and there's got a lot of negative stuff has to happen, and I don't.
Yeah.
I would love to say it's going to get better, but I don't know. I don't think it
will.
Just try to love my friends.
There's a lot of love in this room.
You know what
then.
I mean? Yeah. I love you guys.
Oh. No, totally. That's a whole nother issue. Apocalypse and all of the above. Yeah, but I think that's what I walked away from Brad's sermon just going, like, why do we have these conversations for centuries? Why is this such a big deal? And I think you're right, Sarah. Predestination, women in ministry, things like that. It's like, you know, I think the well has a perspective, a biblical stance on something, and other people will go, well, biblically the well is wrong, or biblically mm-hmm. the well is right. And it's like, okay, one way or the other, we're going to find out in heaven. Mm-hmm. But why does it have to be like the well is wrong? Brad Bell is wrong. They're missing out or whatever. Why can't it just be like, you know what? Everybody's got a different perspective. But you know what I'm stoked about is that, like, there are people coming to know Christ at the mm-hmm. well. And I was at State of the Church and I saw tons of people raise their cell phone and mm-hmm. spirit gifts or no spirit gifts, you know, women in ministry or no women in ministry, like, people are coming to Christ mm-hmm. and that is awesome. Mm-hmm. And that's my perspective. Now, people may go, well, you just don't care about anything. And, like, I always tell Lacey, maybe I'm just apathetic towards it. But it's like, no, I care about, I think, a very limited amount mm-hmm. of things. And that is, like, people coming to know Christ. I guess that's my main.
Well, the mm-hmm. gospel is so, so basic.
Right.
It's so simple that we can't get there without Jesus. And that's it. So mm-hmm. you got to get Jesus. And that's it. And love God and love one another. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I remember when the well was first getting going, we had a small group that Brad led, and we started talking about predestination, and I got so mad because I just learned about it, like, you know, 6 months before,
right?
Even going to church my entire life. I had learned about it, and then he started talking about it. I'm like, can we just not do this? And he's, you know, in the middle of his notes, just kind of blank staring, like, what are you doing right now? I'm like, Brad, what's the point? Like, can we just work on loving each other?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I had daisies in my hair, like, you know, but it's true, man. Cause I think people will go to those levels, especially the people that know their Bible really well. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. And that's like a huge, you know, feather in the cap there. Yeah. And that's what we all should be there. But it seemed like, we would get to those points where it's like, you're arguing about something that is like 12 steps down the line or like, you know, 25 steps down the line. And you're yelling at your wife and kids and you're, you know, I just heard you cuss out a guy that cut you off.
Right.
And we're sitting here arguing about predestination.
Yeah.
Like, just why don't we just love each other first? Let's get that down.
Yeah.
And then
I absolutely believe that.
Talking to you, Christian. No, I'm just joking.
I believe that that's what Paul is like addressing. I really do. And I think those questions that Jane read in the beginning, it's like, those come across in all situations. It's really going like, this isn't one of the questions, but why are we talking about this? Is it because you inside of you have some sort of selfish thought or selfish idea that you want to get across? Do you know what I mean? And so it's like, why do we have to think like that? Why do we have to bring all these things into it instead of just focusing on the simple things? Yeah. And I think that's what PJ's questions are addressing. It's like, let's not focus on you. Let's mm-hmm. focus on other people and the gospel.
And I'm sorry.
Well, roommates.
We keep talking.
Sarah, why don't you go first?
Every time Paul brings up a big issue like that, like head coverings or spiritual gifts or, you know, any other theological hot topic, it's always for a reason. He never brings it up to like, all right, what do you guys think about this? Fight, go. He's always like bringing it up in response to a question they have or an issue they're having. And he's just kind of like, oh no, this is how it is, lays it out, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's never to show off pride or to, convince someone to be on his side. He's just answering a question. There's always a reason why he brings it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak to that in a second. Jane, go.
There's a thing that Brad said too of, it's not about having more of God. It's about God having more mm-hmm. of you. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people base their like maturity of faith as being better than somebody else because they know more or they, understand more or whatever, and it all boils down to, have you given God your whole life? Are those issues something that you want to continue to fight over, or are you willing to let that go to just love others, like Kevin was saying?
Yeah.
But there's a side of it that I don't think it's wrong to have an opinion about those things.
No.
As long as it's not causing disunity within the body, I completely agree.
Totally.
But like, if someone asks me what my position mm-hmm. is on spiritual gifts or on predestination, free will, whatever, like, yeah. I want to have an opinion.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm not like willing to die on a hill
yeah.
about it.
And
know?
I think there is healthy like discussion that can be had, because that does sharpen your brain or sharpen what you do think about things.
And right. think differently.
I love discussing things. And I used to be on that side of wanting to like prove to people that I'm smarter, blah, blah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think I've gone on the other side, or I'm a little bit like you, where I have opinions, but I don't really care as much to whatever. But anyways, I think you're totally right, Jane.
It's those open-handed, close-handed mm-hmm. issues like we've talked about before.
Yeah.
I remember before I came to the well, I used to carry around a TNIV Bible. That was just like, that was what I got. I had, had my name.
TNIV?
Right, exactly. And like,
wow.
I remember today's like somebody NIV. Was like one of my junior high leaders.
Yeah.
I was like reading out of it for mm-hmm. like the second time with the junior hires. And afterwards they're like, what version of the Bible was that? I'm like, oh, it's just my TNIV. Like, you know, I don't know. I read, I got a lot of my highlights from being a kid are in there. So mm-hmm. it was helpful. He's like, yeah, I don't know. Like I just, the NASB is just way better than that. I don't know about it. I'm like, really, dude? Like, that's the first thing you're going to tell
that's
me.
So
like,
funny.
Come on. And I feel like that's what it is. Like people just want to input their opinion on mm-hmm. something. And going back to what you said, Sarah, like you notice something in Paul where it's like, I don't think, I almost don't think Paul gives it feels like Paul gives an answer, but it's like, it's not like clear cut to the sense where like 2000 years later, we're not arguing about it. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like maybe there's something in that of going like, Paul's going like, I'm going to lay it out for you, but just like how Jesus lays out some of his parables or whatever, mm-hmm. there's not really a clear answer, but it's like, it's good to think about, but make mm-hmm. sure it doesn't create like disunity or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that Paul does that a little bit. He goes, here, this is what I want you to chew on, because he doesn't want to give either side the satisfaction of like, I'm right, because he'll know that the people that are on either side are going to go, look, I told you I'm right. I'm totally right. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, maybe Paul has some tactical ways of writing things where people go, I don't know what it is, but I know that we shouldn't cause disunity with this. So.
Maybe he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, maybe Paul did. Yeah, yes. Good job, Paul.
Yeah,
he listens
to
this podcast.
Out.
Yeah,
Paul.
Well, awesome. Yeah. If you haven't heard Brad's sermon, I guess PJ's sermon, Brad's sermon, those are good to catch up on, because we're going to be in 12 and 13, which kind of deal with the issues of gifts and things like that for the next couple weeks. So I'd catch up. And yeah, up next, we will have some time where we just chat about things going on at the well. So stay tuned for that. Enjoy some more live worship music.
Recorded Christian music.
Christmas music.
Christmas. Dang it. I was just thinking about Christmas.
The mountains shake before him. The demons run and flee. At the mention of the name, King of Majesty.
Welcome back, and we're going to just talk about some things coming up here at the well, I guess four things specifically, and first we're going to touch on, we kind of touch on these things once a year, I guess, but first we're going to touch on residency And yes. Who here has been a part of residency? Just Sarah, the lonely Sarah.
The lonely
Sarah. One. Oh, Dave, too, has been a part
of
residency.
Dave was in my class with me.
Yeah. So,
he was a front row student.
Maybe give us a snapshot of what residency is.
It is a 9-month discipleship program, and they meet Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. here at the North Campus. And you go through, it's different every day. So 2 days a week, you're going through Old Testament with Mike Sladen, and you go through Genesis through Nehemiah. And
they teach you how to pronounce.
Yeah, they teach you how to pronounce words.
No, they teach you about the Bible, but they don't teach you how to say that. Right. So she calls it job still.
That's right.
Job and Genesis. But they, and especially with the Old Testament, he explains it in a way that is so exciting because people think, oh, get to read through Leviticus. Yay. But he does such a good job and it's everyone's favorite day. So 2 days of Old Testament, 1 day of New Testament, and you go through Acts and Romans. And then there's this past year, we started a new day, a spiritual formation day. So someone from the spiritual formation team comes in and goes through the anatomy of a disciple. Can't talk
little,
very well today,
tongue
guys.
Tied over here.
I know. And
I wonder why.
Let's see. There's books that you read and book groups and cohorts. And then at the end of the year, you go to Israel, but you have to pay for it. It's not for free.
Yeah, but I think one of the things just to point out about residency is like, yes, it is a classroom, and yes, it is early in the morning, but you would say you got to know the people that you were in class with those 9 months really well.
Oh, yeah, because you see them first thing in the morning. And
Do you still have a relationship with those people?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's the key to the residency that sometimes doesn't get talked about. It's like you develop really good relationships with these people.
Well, especially with this past year, they went to Israel, and you just spent 9 months in the Word every day with these people, and then you get to go experience it hands-on. Like, there's nothing that can replace that. Like, I went to Israel with strangers, people I didn't know, and I still feel like I'm family with them.
Right.
I can't imagine what it would be like to spend all year with them.
But, right, in residency, yeah.
I recommend it for everybody.
One of the first times I think we interviewed Dave Johnson was about a residency.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But with residency, there's going to be a slew of interns in residency this year. And we have got like we've talked about this a little bit with the State of the Church, but we've got an internship here at the Well now that you can still sign up for if you're like, oh, I totally just found out about it. I want to still find out more about it. But
these people sound funny. I totally want to do that. I just found out about it.
There's a lot of people like that in our church. But yeah, it's fun. Like we've got a couple interns in WSM, and they're just excited to be a part of residency. Mm-hmm. And one of our interns, his name is Chaz. He's a really great guy. Shaves his legs. So he's a biker. So he is real serious.
Harley?
Him and Mike Slayton are going to be best friends.
Cool.
And I think the internship is awesome in the sense that these people now get to be a part of ministry for the next 9 months, and they get to learn all these different things in residency about what ministry teams do. And that's like track two of the, I'm going to butcher the names right now. I think it's called Engage is what the track. That's like track two of an internship. Track three is our hope is that as an intern, you will go on and start an ADA church, basically. Mm. So there's a tracks of the internships. You should be involved in those. Connections World. Do you feel like anybody's sparked interest in that, or just by announcing it, have people said like, oh, internship, or
no?
They'd kill it.
They don't come through us. They go to Dale.
I guess they would go through Dale. Yeah, that's right.
So maybe
I have a friend who wants to do internship with Creative.
Really?
Sammy.
See, that's like a great somebody who is creative, and or they shoot videos or make slides or whatever that is. Like, they can go through now an internship program or Kids Connection. JD just signed up for an internship with JD Sycama.
Oh, that's funny. He'll be the only guy.
He will be the only guy, but he's excited because he's like, I get to do what I love. Yeah. And at the end of the program, you get a certificate. There is like, it's official. And I think that to be a part of this year and future years, well, internship program is a huge, huge thing. Mm-hmm. So,
that's awesome.
And then Academy
starts tonight.
Oh,
starts tonight, but everybody's going to hear this the next day.
So started last night.
Every Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
What time?
We have a few faithful Monday night listeners.
What time?
Chris Hensley.
6:15.
at
the here. North Campus.
This yeah. gets posted at about 5:15.
All right.
If somebody listened, they could still get here in time.
Yes, they can.
I Jane, maybe give us a snapshot of yep. what is Academy.
So Academy is a total of 3-year program. It's broken up by semester. So first semester was New Testament. Second was a biblical worldview.
Oh, you're asking me.
Third was minor. Third was
Psalms, Proverbs.
Nope. No, historical books. And then
thanks, Dave.
This semester is wait. What was last semester?
Last semester was wow. systematic theology.
I'm doing a really good job at talking about this, huh? Yeah. But this semester is going to be the poetic books, minor prophets, poetic books.
Right.
Yep.
I'm super excited about this one. Yeah. It's $50 because you get a huge binder yep. of material.
I had to drive the binders over to the church today, and on Maple and Knees, like before you turn onto the church, you, if you're coming down Knees, you turn onto
Maple.
You turn on a Maple near the well sign, and I had all these books in the back of my car, no. and one of the binders flew out of the back of my car. And I was like, no, Patty's going to kill me. And luckily, there was no car behind me, and so I pulled off towards like where the signs are.
Yeah.
And I pulled off, parked it. And like right before the more cars came, I went and grabbed the box and like ran off. And
a whole box flew off?
A whole box flew off.
Oh, not just one binder?
Oh, no. A whole box filled with binders.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Stacked them maybe a little too high. I don't think Patty listens, but it was
kind of scary.
So if you get a binder that has some road marks on it.
Scuff marks.
My bad. All right.
Every now and then Academy this year?
I do Academy online. Monday nights are really hard for me. But I get the link sent to me, and I really enjoy Academy. I think that if you enjoy church and you want to take it one step further in your faith, Academy is the place for you. And
wow, so many voices today, Christian.
No, that's my favorite voice that you do. and what's cool about this semester, I can't do it this semester, but I maybe listen to it online, but it's all the books of the Bible that you probably don't go to typically. Like, yeah. Let's read Obadiah tonight, but you will in Academy.
Yeah, that's true. And now the last question, Kevin, this is where you get to speak.
Yeah,
we're going to allow you to talk.
Are starting up here at the well. Kevin, you've been a part of life groups here at the well for almost 10 years, correct?
Yep.
And what do you enjoy about life groups? Why do you like being in a life group?
I'm not going to say
do
that I enjoy
Do you like
it.
Being in a life group?
I do enjoy it on the condition that people are willing to do life with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in small groups. We did a couple small group, and I want to endorse couple small groups, but the couple small group that I got in, everything was just like face value and like, how are you? Fantastic. Your Bible, is that red leather? They're like, yeah, it's red leather, yellow leather. And just, we never got into it. And then the group split off one night.
And were the girls, guys separated? I think you've talked about this on Spoutcast before.
Have I really?
Yeah. No, keep going though. It's good.
Let's assume that everybody doesn't listen to every episode. And I'm just going to tell the same story every week. they split up and the guys got real.
Yeah.
You know, and they didn't want the girls to come back. I mean, eventually, not like, you know, like months later.
No, I think that's a good point to bring out, and the fact of like life group here at the well is really meant for people to open up, for people to grow in their faith and not just come and let it be a hangout time.
Right.
And I think that exactly what you just said of like the more you put into it, I think the more you get out of life group.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Sarah,
I just
totally
said absolutely.
Sarah looked at me like, no, that's not true. The
but
less you put
said
in, the
absolutely,
more
but her eyes were crossed. She was shaking her head.
SMH.
No, totally. I mean,
I'll say this.
Yes.
If you can go in and you can be totally open and not be impressed by yourself and just like tell your life, like this is my whole life. I feel guilty every day of my life because I feel like I do that. Mm-hmm. I told you guys a story off air. I feel guilty right now for telling you that story because I know it was like awkward. It was like, it's my life.
Yeah.
This is how I do it. And then it's just like, if you have relationships like that, where you're not hiding things mm-hmm. and you're open and honest, other people are willing to do that. And it's a service you can do for somebody that maybe is really dealing with some hard stuff. You know what I mean? I've shared very little tidbits of my struggles in life and had people share huge,
huge issues. Mm-hmm. And we were able to work on, you know, both areas in our life and see that life change happen because I wasn't so impressed with myself that I didn't want to say, you know,
right,
whatever. So
totally.
And you have to be okay with people asking you about those really honest things later. Cause like I'll share things and then I get really annoyed when people ask me about it later. Yeah. I'm like, no, I wanted you to forget that. I just said it because I needed to feel better.
Yeah.
And that's not like you have to be okay with like, no, they're going to call you to the carpet and they're going to make sure that you're doing okay in that area or whatever.
Totally. I think life groups are really good for personal growth. And I think one of the key elements to life groups that sometimes when you've been in a life group for a long time and there's lots of different people at the well that have been in the same life group for, you know, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever that is. And they forget and they were growing deeply with one another, but they forget how much somebody new could benefit from that and how much somebody who maybe isn't involved in a life group or who doesn't even go to the well and they get plugged in. And so we, for life groups, really want to institute like there's always an open chair. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's always, your group is no longer closed off. You don't have a closed group. It's like, our hope is that new people would get to benefit from what you've benefited from mm-hmm. in life group where yeah. they're able to come in and share their struggles and their life and have these people that, yeah, sure could grow and have a really deep theological conversation about, well, was Job mad at God or not, or predestination, free will? Or they can come in and go, you know what? I can grow on the side. This is about getting new people to come to know Christ. And mm-hmm. I think that's a key element for exactly what you guys are saying, is that new people can come and really hear about that. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think another thing that we're really encouraging life groups to do this year is to get together with people in their neighborhoods and actually try to affect the where they live,
right?
Like physically where you live. And so we have a lot of neighborhood based groups this year. Mm-hmm. So if you live out near in Sanger, near FPU, there's a bunch of neighborhood groups out there. There's some in Clovis, and just really trying to infect the people around you. So
totally. Well, I would say always check the website. We got a lot of cool things coming up. Next mm-hmm. week, we are going to interview John Lorente, our missions director.
Woo-hoo.
And we're just going to talk about mission trips past, mission trips future. And I don't think there's any present mission trips going on.
Except the one that we are on every day.
Extended family.
Extended family, correct. Yes, you are correct. So we're going to have John come in and talk about that. But I just wanted to give everybody, as we kind of swing back into Spoutcast every single week, we had a break last week, but here's what's going on. And I figure we all have some experience in all of those four different areas. So, yeah?
Yeah.
Jane, so Connections doesn't do intern. I'm just kidding.
Well, we do, but we don't have anybody to do it.
Gotcha. So that is, check all these things out on the website. Up next, we'll do some announcements. Jane wants to talk about some of her song selections. And
we don't really have any more announcements, we'll close though, because we just
did all the announcements. All. Well, we'll just
all right, let's close
let's
out.
Let's just shoot the breeze.
Yeah. Okay, we're back. And,
I thought you were going to jump in, so I was trying to throw you off.
Jane's got a quick spout out for us.
I got a spout out because one of these songs is one of my friend's favorite songs right now. And I miss this friend because he moved to San Diego. So, Mario, this is to you.
What's the song called?
One Thing Remains.
Is it... I was going to do a great joke and I blew it. What is that band that came out with that song a few years ago? It's like
One Republic.
No, the song's called One Thing. I think their band's name was Fingers 11 or Finger 11. It's like, oh, no.
You're on your own with this one, Christian.
No, this isn't that song.
Guys, close, one time though. I went to a turkey farm, and there was this guy, and he wore, I think it was overalls. Remember, like, okay, you remember when cookies used to come in a sleeve, right?
I'm going to play their music on next week's show.
No, Christian, you're bright red.
Please don't. Let Sarah continue with the music selection. It's actually been good.
Somebody's going to correct me. Email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com if you know the song called One Thing. I think their band's name's like
Boys to Men. Just keep going. Keep going.
All right, forget it.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Well, also find us on Instagram. We take funny photos every week.
Or we take a funny photo.
We don't have any guests to take a photo of.
We're just going to take a photo of Kevin this week.
Just Kevin.
And speaking of Kevin,
really,
a few weeks ago, now if you're a faithful Spoutcast listener, this is for you.
Which we know you all are.
Yeah, because if you've listened to the last segment of the show, you know you're a faithful listener. Kevin was on drugs a couple weeks ago. let's be specific. Some painkillers. And Kevin, during one of our podcasts.
Please, you gotta have the whole thing. Like, yeah, so I had a hernia surgery and they gave me
I didn't hear that part. I just thought you were on painkillers.
Some painkillers. I want everybody to know that.
I had a hernia surgery.
I'm going to get so many Facebook messages. We're praying for you and your addiction.
Well, basically, Kevin, during the middle of the Spoutcast, he called us. And left a voice. I called me, actually.
Oh,
left
not me all of us.
Not all of us. Left me a voicemail that was a good 3 minutes long. And I'm going to play it unedited on the show. And it's interesting. Kevin is hyped up. And I would love for you guys to see the real Kevin. Because we all know this is the Christianese Kevin in here, but this is the real Kevin. And so check it out at the end of the show.
Kevin Tinkin, the real Kevin Tinkin, not yet.
Right.
Kevin Tinkin's.
We'll play it as kind of a bonus thing at the end of the show. But check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the above. This is The Spout.
And we are
out.
He's like, hey, Jean-Luc Picard, can I have some special reading glasses? Because I'm blind as poop. And Jean-Luc Picard's like, number one, give him some glasses. Wait a second, that wasn't Geordi before. That wasn't Jean-Luc. That was like James Bond. Number one. Engage. Oh, Christian, your parents knew the future when they named you. they knew the future. They're like, this guy's probably going to be a Christian. Let's name him that. Your dad was like, that's a great idea, Bernie. Your mom's name is Bernie in my mind right now. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. I'm picking up my pants. I'm picking up my pants with one hand. Oh, hey. Hey, you should record this, man. This should be on the Spoutcast right now. Right now. Oh, man. Oh, it's hard to bend over. My abs are sore. I'm going to have a six-pack after this. My abs are still sore. Oh, it's in a book. It's an Overday Rainbow book. Don't take my word for it. Listen to these kids. They read, too. It's weird, man. I don't know why Jordy LaForge can't just make a statement without assuming that we're going to think he's a liar. Like, oh, I'm just saying, reading's great. You don't have to believe me. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? This kid will tell you right here that it's a great book. And he'll be like, yeah, it's a book about cactus. I love cactus.